Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to bring you greetings from the North Wisconsin District, the home of the Green Bay Packers. And so I certainly want to wish and thank you, Dr. Rast, Dr. Harrison, to you, the honored faculty, to you, Pastor Stotterold, President of the Council of Presidents, and all my brothers sitting all around and behind me, thank goodness. Recently, I came across a Facebook matter that came to my attention, and I got it because my name was on it, and it's because one of you wrote it. And it was about tonight. He wrote, "I was just talking about this with whoever. I assume you're going. I know that North Wisconsin District won't have a lot of placements, so it seems important to be there. Besides, last year, Dwayne Lloyd gave the guys getting calls a basket of goodies, including a cheese head. If there is any chance of getting a cheese head, I ought to go." Tonight, our text, we're going to deal with the second reading from John. When you were a child, you ever remember that time when you did something wrong and Dad wasn't home and your mom says, "Just wait till Dad gets home"? Or maybe you were one of those little brats in school that had trouble with your teacher, and so the teacher sent you down to the principal's office and you had to sit there because they weren't in yet, and you had to sit there and wait. Those were anxious moments. Tonight we're going to take a look at three anxious places. The first one comes tonight in John chapter 20. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week in Jerusalem, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And so those disciples gathered in anxiousness. They gathered there scared to death. The door was locked. They didn't know what was going to happen. It's already the evening time, but it had been a miserable 3 days, probably the worst 3 days of their life. And I'm sure they looked back and wondered what went wrong. Everything seemed so good just a week ago. Jesus came in and they were singing Hosanna to the Son of David. They had a nice week sort of sitting back around Jerusalem area. They get together with Jesus on Thursday night, and John, we find out that there was a lot that Jesus had to share with them, even washed their feet. They were pretty boastful at the time too, in which they said, "Lord, don't worry, we would never leave you." And Peter, of course, puts his foot in his mouth and says, "Lord, I'll never deny you." And they go out to the garden, everything's going good, and then all of a sudden everything went bad. You sort of know the story. Jesus gets arrested. He gets before the Sanhedrin, sort of a sham, mock jury. Peter denies Jesus, and in the meantime, let's not forget that all the disciples deserted him in the garden. He goes before Pilate, even Herod, and in the end they say, "Crucify him." He gets taken out and hung on the cross in the most pitiful manner before people, and Jesus dies. And Jesus gets buried. And now it's sort of like all their hopes and dreams and everything went down the tubes. Jesus had died. And now here they were. They pulled together on Sunday evening. We're just told disciples were there. But we know that while they were there, they had to be thinking, what's going on? And so they gather there and they're scared and they're wondering, you know, what's going to happen? Will the people come along? Because after all, there were rumors now that Christ was alive, although the women had seen him, but none of the disciples had. And so they gathered there in fear. The door is locked, and so they're waiting for the Jewish authorities maybe to come take him away. And then Jesus shows up. Dad walks in. The principal walks into the office. And now what? And Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And then it says what? He showed him his hands and his side. And I love how John put it, you know, they gave thanks and they rejoiced. All of a sudden, everything disappears. And then what does Jesus say to them after this little examination? He says again to them, peace be with you. What a comforting word, isn't it? Peace. But this peace that Jesus is talking about isn't like the, hey man, what's happening, peace, and this ain't the, you know, let's the two fingers up in the air from back in the 60s kind of mode. This ain't that kind of peace at all. This is a whole different kind of peace. And in fact, Jesus had talked about peace just, remember, this was on Sunday, and on Thursday night, Jesus had talked to him about peace. Jesus had said to them, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We heard the choir sing that. Jesus, even on that Thursday night, again talked about peace, in which he said, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. When he said, I have overcome the world, there is no doubt now when Jesus walked into that or came into that upper room, there was peace with God. Jesus finished and closed out the circle in which now there was a payment made. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. You see, someone had to reconcile with God. And so it was that Jesus had made that happen. He allowed himself as a sacrificial lamb to be hung so that the sins of those disciples could be forgiven, even when they forsook him or denied him. And so now Jesus says, peace be with you. We come to our second anxious place. And we read, then Wednesday evening, the candidates and their families were together in Cramer Chapel. Because they were afraid because it was call night, and Jesus stood among them and he said, peace be with you. Now, candidates, you're sitting here saying, hurry up, get over. But, you know, the question obviously is, where are we going to go? Or where did they place us? Or did Pastor or Professor Pulse really listen to what I had to say? I've got to tell you a little quick one here. On my placement interview, I can remember it was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, not a good time to be interviewed. And while I'm giving where I want to go and all this good kind of information, my placement officer was dozing off. And then I ended up in, no, I better not say. But you see, there's also sort of like those questions, you know, I hope they pay us enough because, man, do I got debt? Or you could be saying, I hope we're close to mom, or especially my mother-in-law, because of grandkids. You're going to wonder, where are the kids going to be placed? Are they going to find a good school? Will there be a Lutheran school nearby? And if you're a single guy like I was, is there going to be Miss Wright out there? Don't worry, God provides. Thank you, Cheryl. So what are you afraid of? Jesus said what? Peace be with you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to be by your side, and you got to know that. And yet deep down, you know what you're like. You're like me. And you know when you do that thing, when you put your hand inside your shirt and you feel this flesh and blood, what you find out is, oh boy, I hope I can fool him for a while, because really, what a sinner I am. And so are you. And so we have to start out in our own walk, in which we say, what are we scared of? What we're scared of is sin and what it does to us. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. And even Luther went on to say, though he said, God threatens to punish all that transgress these commandments, therefore we should fear his wrath and not act contrary to them. God sort of puts the fear of God into us. That's what sin does. It pulls us down. And then all of a sudden we aren't at peace with God. And all of a sudden we're wondering, how am I going to pull this off? How am I going to pull this off when I turn around that first time and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? Am I going to be able to go on after that, because it's only me? And my brothers and sisters, if you ask them, would say, what in the world are you doing up there? But they see, they know you, but more importantly, God knows you too. And God knows me, and God knows all of us, and he especially knows you guys. I know some of you guys. But you see, we need God's peace. And so it is that, you see, it was all ruined by Adam and Eve. Let's blame them. After all, they're the ones that walked. They're the ones that walked out of the garden, because, you see, they had broken the relationship with God. And I always like to say, well, how come we have to suffer for them? But you see, I have to suffer for myself and what happened. And so by my grace, I throw myself before God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then came that beautiful day, because we were born in sin. But then there are the days in which we were, and you'll have the privilege of pouring water on the head of a child and saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just as you were. And then you see everything changed. You know what it meant? You were at peace with God, just like all of you. And all of you. We're all baptized, God's people. We're all saints together. We're all saints together because as Jesus Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah. It's all about a great, gracious God who watches over us and takes care of us. And so in the end, you see, what happens is that we become victorious. And so it's like the writer Paul said these words, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of sin is death. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you talk about victories, I can't think of a better way to illustrate it than this. It was December 29th. We all like winning, don't we? Don't we? Yes, okay. December 29th, it was the last game of the season. The Packers were playing the Bears. And it was not looking good for the visiting team, the Green and Gold from Green Bay. They had just made a first down, luckily, on fourth and one, and there were about 2 minutes left, and then finally came down with 46 seconds left. It was fourth and eight. Remind you, this is Soldier Field. This ain't Lambeau. And so it is. Bear fans screaming at the top of their voice, and so it is. There's a snap to Rodgers, and he rolls left, and then Green Bay country, Coon's a hero, because he takes out Julius Peppers, who's now a member of the Green Bay Packers. But he takes out Julius Peppers, and Rodgers keeps rolling left, and he sees Randall Cobb open, and he throws to him a 38-yard touchdown, and the Packers win. It's just natural. It comes natural. But you see, what happened is, the beauty of this story is this. Is this put the Packers into the playoffs again for the fifth time, and for the sixth time, the Bears weren't in the playoffs. And I'll tell you, when you go to work on Monday, life isn't better than when you can rub it into a Bear fan's face. But you see, there were people that jumped off their couch when that happened. When Rodgers saw Cobb open, his eyes lit up, because he was wide open, and so it meant a touchdown. And so it is, you see, victory means something. It means something to us as fans, if you're into that sports stuff. The ironic part is, the Packers lost the next week to the 49ers. You see, yeah. And the 49ers lost to Seattle, and okay. I don't know if you're supposed to use these kind of illustrations or not, but anyway, it works for me. And so it was. It was a victory. A victory when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We sing that Jesus Christ is risen today, and there is nothing I love better than singing that on Easter Sunday morning, that Jesus Christ is risen, because it means that I too am victorious. And you're victorious because of what Jesus Christ did for us, and it means that anxiousness that was mine, The anxiousness of mind because of my sinfulness has been eliminated. And so it is that we gather together, and so we don't have to fear. Luther put it so well, didn't he? Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince still scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him. Rub a little Jesus into Satan's face and see how he likes it. But you see, that's what Jesus did. And so Jesus says, peace be with you. You're at peace with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we come to anxious moment in place number three. Then Sunday morning, the members and their families are together in the congregation you will be called to serve. They and their families will gather together in a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod parish because they had a bad week, and Jesus stood among them and he said, peace be with you. And then you have the opportunity to proclaim Jesus Christ. You're going to say, grace unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When I'm all done here, I'm going to say, and now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Even at the end of the benediction, Lord bless you and keep you. And then at the very end, we say what? And grant you his peace. You see, these people need it, and some of those people that gather there on Sunday morning don't give a care about how much you know. Because you see, they're coming in with the world hanging around their shoulders. It's been a bad week at the office. It's been a bad week for them in the marriage. They aren't getting along with their kids. Kids aren't real happy with mom and dad. Someone got the bad word about the C word. Someone had tests and they don't know what's going to happen. Mom's 200 miles away, she's not good. What are we going to do? Or a loved one passes away and I need to hear God's word. So it was my former boss, Arlie Lutz, district president. He had put it this way, you're dying men preaching to dying people and you have the message that proclaims life. See, you got a whole lot of peace you got to shove around there and you got to give to them. They need to hear that God loves them and that he cares for them and that there truly is peace. It's an easy thing to say, peace be with you. It's really hard sometimes to believe it. But you see, that's why you got to keep giving them Jesus. And you got to keep giving them the law that brings them down, because then that makes the beauty of the gospel all that much sweeter in what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so it is, you'll know that. You're going to say upon this your confession. Remember Jesus in the upper room there after he says, I give you the Holy Spirit. He says, whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they're going to be retained. And so what an awesome responsibility when you finally have the big L word, leader, that you're forgiving these people their sins because you see you're God's servant. And don't forget that fact. A pastor friend of mine, when I was ordained, his father sent me a card, simple card, and anyway, he wrote in there, he said these words, he said, remember, you were called to serve, not to be served. See, that's what you're here for, is to serve your Lord and to serve God's people. You're an under-shepherd. You're there to care for the flock. You're there to give them Jesus and to say, peace be with you. And so it is that you're going to hang. There's going to be time that people aren't going to hang on those words, and yet you have the opportunity to do it. And so that's what you do. And there's going to be those times that this place could not prepare you for. I found out the hard way real quick. Day of my ordination, all of a sudden I hear, pastor, pastor, and I'm thinking, who's that? And all of a sudden, here's one of my future members wondering what was I going to do about Walter League. For you younger guys, that was a youth group way long time ago. And then I get there, and about the second day I'm there, this is 4 days before my ordination, someone says, would you go please see my mother who's in the hospital? She's dying of cancer. And I'll tell you, I think in all my years, I've never seen anyone going through so much pain as Alva and suffering from cancer. And then the question was, is we've got some medical marijuana in the freezer and we're wondering, should we use it or not? And I'm thinking, where was ethics class on this? What do you do? It didn't get any better because on Sunday I was ordained, and Monday morning at 8 o'clock, my sister said, Dwayne, someone's at the front door, come into the front door. And here's my Sunday school superintendent. He came and he said, what should I do? My sister-in-law got baptized in the river last night. She's a Sunday school teacher. You want me to take her books? And I'm thinking, we didn't have this at the seminary. I'll tell you what, I'd trade in that baptism story for some of the stuff I have as a district president, I'll tell you that. But so it is that you're going to be called. You're going to get your thing here. I'm almost done, don't worry. But there is something, you know, that you're going to get tonight, and you're going to get your call papers, and there's going to be a nice, and it's got to be a parchment sheet of paper on the top. And it's going to be a parchment paper, and it's going to be a congregation, and it's going to give on there that these anxious people are going to call you. And as I thought of this today driving here, don't worry, they're anxious too about you. But don't forget page 2. It's called the supplement to the diploma of vocation. It's going to have your name on it, but I hope you take time to read it. I believe that there's a lot of pastors that have never read page 2. And when I sit down with them, I said, pull that thing out. And they said, well, what are you talking about? I said, you know, the thing that you got with your call papers? And on there's some responsibilities that say, in the name of the triune God, but it says, administer to us the word of God in its full truth and purity as contained in the sacred scripture, the Old and New Testaments, and set forth confessional writings. The Evangelical Lutheran Church is found in the Book of Concord to administer the holy sacraments. And then the list goes on to demonstrate the mind and spirit of Christ as you serve the members, to equip and enable the members, to perform the functions of a pastor. Are you starting to get worried? To guard and promote faithfully the spiritual welfare of the members, to guide congregation applying divinely ordained discipline, to promote and guide the mission activity of the congregation, to serve as a resource and guide for members, to assist congregation adopting administrative policies. That administrative one can chirp you up sometime. Read your constitution when you get there. Finally, to serve as an example of Christian conduct. And that's when sometimes, whoa, you know, you've been living unresponsibly here at a campus, and now you go to a congregation. You got to start living responsibly and accountably. People are watching you. And then at the end, there's things that they've got to do too. But you see, we're all in this together. We all have anxious moments. The disciples were anxious. You're anxious. God's people are anxious, and yet Jesus comes along and he says those beautiful words. He says, peace be unto you. And what I really love is at the end of this story that was written by John, is that at the end of this story of the text on Sunday, it says these words at the very end. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Really, it's pretty simple, isn't it? What you're going to tell them is, Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's pretty simple. And so you have the office and responsibility to say, you know, grace and peace unto you in God and Father's name. There's a hymn verse that puts it, I think, so well. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Peace be with you.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, President Luick, for your message. Not bad for a cheesehead. You do know that my last call was outside of Seattle and the Seahawks. I knew you'd know that. And I must assume, of course, that your St. Louis Cardinal loyalties are your redeeming quality. So we're gathered here this evening to carry out a very important tradition, very important task for the church, our church. It's not a task that has been entertained lightly. And if you doubt that, you may ask my wife. Providing pastors and deaconesses for our church is what we do. It is first and foremost in every aspect and consideration of your seminaries, and it must be so. Therefore, the work of assigning calls to these men as they prepare to enter the office of public ministry is God's work, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, He guides the task. And God, in His unfathomable wisdom, has chosen to use various people and institutions to carry out the task. Placement directors, congregations, pastors, district presidents, staff, the synod, all working together. All of these working together slowly but surely fit all of the pieces together. It's like a big box of Legos. And if I might use a quote from the recent Lego movie, everything is awesome. You got to see this movie. This is a great movie. All eligible MDiv candidates from both seminaries have a call. Everything is awesome. It's a good movie. On this end, I again give thanks for our Dean of Students, the Reverend Tom Zimmerman, for the Dean of Certification and Placement, Dr. Carl Fekencher, and especially our Vicarage Director, Dr. John Reynolds, for all of their help and their support. And as always is the case, the workers behind the scenes are integral. And for us, they are Nancy Raber, Marcia Zimmerman. At the synodical headquarters, it's Barbara Clark. And I would like to give my heartfelt thanks to all of them. This year, there are 40 MDiv and 4 alternate route pastors elect from our seminary, and 48 MDiv, 5 alternate route, and 8 SMP from our sister seminary in St. Louis. In addition, there are 2 colloquy, 4 Center for Hispanic Studies candidates, 3 candidates from St. Catherine Seminary in Canada. And all of these initials in these categories add up to 115. There are 124 calls available at this time, with 2 coming in yesterday afternoon. And there is 1 call pending, the paperwork soon to arrive. We currently have 10 unused calls at this moment. The harvest field remains in need of workers, indeed. Would the candidates please present themselves for placement? Peter C. Allersmeyer, Associate Pastor, Christ Lutheran Church, Niantic, Connecticut, New England District. David R. Appold, Associate Pastor, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Paducah, Kentucky, Mid-South District. Kyle L. Bacchus, Abiding Word, Gonzales, Texas, and Vineyard of Christ Lutheran Church, Rozanke, Texas, Texas District. Christopher D. Beck, Assistant Pastor, Faith Lutheran Church, Bloomington, Indiana, Indiana District. Philip J. Byersdorf, St. John's, Villard, Minnesota, and Trinity, Grove Lake, Minnesota, Minnesota North District. Tyrell E. Bramwell, call pending to Our Savior, Chester, California, and First Lutheran, Greenville, California, California, Nevada, Hawaii District. David M. Books, Associate Pastor, St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Wheaton, Illinois, Northern Illinois District. Stephen T. Conrad, St. John Lutheran Church, Herman's Fort, Shawano, Wisconsin, North Wisconsin District. Jared S. DeBlick, Associate Pastor, Trinity Lutheran Ministries, Edwardsville, Illinois, Southern Illinois District. Holland P. Dooling, Emmanuel, Racine, Minnesota, and St. John Lutheran Church, Sargent, Minnesota, Minnesota South District. David N. Dunlop, Christ, Clinton, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church, Chestnut, Illinois, Central Illinois District. McDeal U. Fajardo, Grace Lutheran Church, Santa Maria, California, California, Nevada, Hawaii District. Brian Flammy, Associate Pastor, Hope Lutheran Church, Aurora, Colorado, Rocky Mountain District. Brian T. Gurman in absentia, Assistant Professor of Theology, Concordia University, Wisconsin, Mequon, Wisconsin, South Wisconsin District. Walter K. Gilkey, St. John's, Harrington, Kansas, and Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Harrington, Kansas, Kansas District. Andrew E. Herzberg, Trinity Lutheran Church, Farmington, Minnesota, Minnesota South District. Scott E. Johnson, Associate Pastor, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Hillsdale, Michigan, Michigan District. Michael J. Carney, St. Paul, Alden, Iowa, and St. Paul Evangelical Lutheran Church, Alden, Buckeye, Iowa, Iowa District East. Adam C. Kuntz, Mount Calvary Evangelical Lutheran Church, Lititz, Pennsylvania, English District. Andrew S. Lehman, Assistant Pastor, Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church, Fairhope, Alabama, Southern District. Blaise E. Marin in absentia, Assistant Pastor, St. John's Lutheran Church, Moore, Oklahoma, Oklahoma District. David J. McCarthy, Redeemer, Wanetta, Nebraska, and Trinity Lutheran, Palisade, Nebraska, Nebraska District. Jonathan V. Meyer, Associate Pastor, Divine Savior Lutheran Church, Hartford, Wisconsin, South Wisconsin District. Justin M. Miller, in absentia, released to the Lutheran Church Canada for placement as associate pastor at Our Savior Dryden and St. Mark Lutheran Church, Vermilion Bay, Ontario, Lutheran Church Canada. Oh, good, we're still in the right spot. Nathan T. Nogebauer, St. John Ravillo, South Dakota, and Bethlehem, Milbank, South Dakota District. Troy W. Peppercorn, St. John's Lutheran Church, Rhinebeck, Iowa, Iowa District East. Michael J. Peters, St. John's Lutheran Church, Secor, Illinois, Central Illinois District. Roger A. Peters, Assistant to the Director of Library Services, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Indiana District. Eric G. Phillips, Concordia Lutheran Church, Nashville, Tennessee, Mid-South District. Mark A. Resner, St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Whittemore, Iowa, Iowa District West. Roberto E. Rojas, Zion Lutheran Church, Winter Garden, Florida, Florida, Georgia District. Brandon W. Ross, Faith Lutheran Church, Johnstown, Colorado, Rocky Mountain District. David L. Schinbeckler, in absentia, Holy Redeemer Lutheran Church, Sandusky, Michigan, English District. Joshua M. Schultz, Associate Pastor, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Alpena, Michigan, Michigan District. Curtis D. Stevens, St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Hazleton, Pennsylvania, SELC District. Li Wei Sui, Faith Lutheran Church, Mission and Outreach Pastor, Bloomington, Indiana, Indiana District. David J. Sutton, Our Savior Lutheran Church and School, Marlette, Michigan, Michigan District. Jacob D. Swenson, St. John Lutheran Church, Hillsboro, North Dakota, North Dakota District. Jason W. Toombs, Associate Pastor, First Lutheran Church and School, Helena, Montana, Montana District. Could be Helena. William J. Traffigan, St. John's, Underwood, North Dakota, Trinity, Rural Hazen, and St. John's Lutheran Church, McCluskey, North Dakota, North Dakota District. Aaron D. Upoff, Good Shepherd Evangelical Lutheran Church, Randolph, New Jersey, New Jersey District. Aaron H. Virgin, St. Mark's Lutheran Church, West Bloomfield, Michigan, Michigan District. Mark A. Warner, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Munising, Michigan, North Wisconsin District. Aaron M. West, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, Greensburg, Indiana, Indiana District.
Candidates will rise for the charge. Go, then, take heed unto thyself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made thee an overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Feed the flock of Christ, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a willing and ready mind, neither as being lord over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, thou shalt receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The Lord bless thee from on high, and make thee a blessing unto many, that thou mayest bring forth fruit, and that thy fruit may remain unto eternal life. Amen.